Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Flashback. I am Sinbad, and I am, of course, joined by Katrair. How you doing, Katrair?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good, man. I am reading up on WCW, trying to remember some stuff that I don't remember from when I was seven. So I've been doing that for the last couple of hours. But I actually do not know where we left off last week. So we should probably figure that out, don't you think?
I have no idea.
No idea. Okay. We are a professional show here, buddy. No, pretty much the gist of what was going on that I remember is, well, here's what's going on, because this is not really missing anything, okay? The storyline
we ended last week with Ric Flair beating Bobby Eaton. So.
Ric Flair beating Bobby Eaton.
I'm the main event, so we're going to be up to the power hours when we get started.
What date is that?
See, 1/12.
1/12. All right, here we are. Okay, the thing I remember about this, and this is, we're going to try to be as specific as possible, but what I remember is Sting was challenging Ric Flair. He wanted to wrestle Ric Flair. And
well, he was given the opportunity because he won Iron Man. So
yes.
He earned it.
Yeah.
He earned the chance to
He earned it. And he's explaining to the Horseman that he earned the title shot and, well, actually just the Flair, that he earned the title shot and that it's going to be in the family no matter what happens. No matter what happens, it's going to be, you know, in the Horseman. And he said he likes being part of the Horseman. And on these interviews, Arn Anderson and Ole, they're supporting Sting. They're with him on it.
Yeah.
And there's woman, you know, woman's trying to get, you know, get her way into the Horseman. She has to come in. And Flair tells her that she's awesome, but that she'd be too much of a distraction. So this is pretty much
basically saying, I want to fuck you, but we got business to take care of first.
Exactly. So we're at where, you know, Sting is going to be challenging Ric Flair, and we'll go ahead and go with there's the Center Stage Theater tapings from January. It says January 1990. You see what I'm talking about?
What's the date?
It just says January 1990. It actually says 1/13.
Okay, 1/13?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. There's a part where, like, it's supposed to be Ric Flair. He's going to be in the Louisville Slugger with Jim Cornette, which is kind of like Jim Cornette's Piper's Pit. And he questioned the decision that Sting would be given the title shot against Flair instead of the U.S. champion, which at the point, the U.S. champion was always considered the number one contender.
Yeah.
So, Flair turned down Woman because Woman came out. And Ole Anderson and Arn Anderson, they were with Sting on this. So then Sting wrestles Bob Cook, one of the better jobbers. And
well, you forgot real quick, Woman and Nitron came out to Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire.
Oh, of course. Sorry. I should have talked about that wonderful music. But yeah, Sting beat Bob Cook. Doom with Woman in Nitro. Let's talk a little bit about Doom. Will they beat Paul, Drake, and Agent Steel? Doom was kind of like a short-lived tag team. They weren't together too long.
They were together, I guess October of 89 until, February of 91 when they broke up? Yeah.
Yeah, so what is that, five, six months? And
that's about a year and a half, I think.
Oh, year and a half, okay. Oh, of 91, of course, sorry.
Yeah.
But yes, so they weren't together very long at all. I mean, it's forever when it comes to tag teams of today. But, like, they made such an impact in that short period of time. And they were kind of like a lower card act at first. But then, you know, once the masks came off, they became more of a threat. Apparently the masks, they can breathe or something. I don't know. But they were just
You can take them more seriously. I mean, I don't know, the mask thing's always goofy anyway.
So what did you think of 1990 version of the Rock and Roll Express?
They were fine. I preferred like the mid-80s, late-80s Rock and Roll Express. I thought that's when they were really in their prime. But when they came back here, they're still very good.
They were still very good, but their moniker of being heartthrobs was gone. I mean, it still was there because it was the South, and women would fuck any wrestler in the South at that point. But they weren't, like, still, like, necessarily in shape. Like, Robert Gibson was pretty pale when he came back, and it kind of had, like, a bit of a gut. And Ricky Morton had a little bit of a gut, but not like Gibson. It was pretty bad. Well,
the Rock and Roll thing had been either gotten goofy at this point, I think.
Yes. So we'll get to that once we get to the RoboCop. Buddy Lee Parker and James Earl Wright lost to the Rock and Roll Express. A little six-and-a-half-minute match. And I watched that today, and not too bad. They looked pretty good. They looked pretty good. The main thing that I was excited about on this episode that I watched was Ranger Ross. When I was a kid, I remember Ranger Ross, and I was actually a pretty good fan of it, or a pretty big fan of his, because he was like the way that they built him was he was kind of like a lower card guy, but I used to always think like, hey, maybe. You know, maybe something could happen with him. I bet if he teamed with Sting or something, he would go places. But that was not the case with Ranger Ross. He was kind of...
And the only place he went was to prison for robbing a bank.
Yes, exactly. Dr. Death Steve Williams beat Rick Fargo. U.S. champion Lex Luger beat Pat Rose. Pat Rose is by far one of my favorite jobbers ever. I talk about all the time. With a torture rack, which is impressive because Pat Rose was a decent-sized guy. Brian Pillman and Tom Zink beat the Italian Stallion and Randy Harris when Zink beat Harris with a slingshot splash into the ring. So what did you think? So there's the Cactus Jack beat Lee Scott. And Cactus Jack was coming
from the match the week before when he turned on him.
Yes. Cactus Jack was always losing, but he would beat lower card jobbers, and he was kind of getting a cult following at the time with the you know the newsletter writers and you know the really insider fans. Even at this point, they were there, and the diehards liked him a lot.
I think this is probably his first win on TV.
Yes, probably. Arn Anderson beat Hacksaw. That's right, Hacksaw Higgins with a DDT. Michael Hayes pinned Ricky Nelson with a DDT. And Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane beat Gene Ligone and Sean Regal.
Gene Ligon.
What is it?
Gene Ligon.
Oh, I apologize. And that awesome tag team of Dan Spivey and Mean Mark Callis beat the formidable tag team of Larry Santo and Rick Ryder. So there you go on that show. So kind of a nothing show with the exception of, you know, they're building the storylines. They're trying to get, get some stories over. What's interesting is the house shows around this time featured Norman beating the Iron Sheik. And the Iron Sheik, what would happen in these matches would he would win by cheating, and then the referee would restart the match, and then Norman would beat the Iron Sheik. Well, what's the story with Iron Sheik and the NWA?
He come in like May of 89, and he did a little thing with him and Sting. Sting beat him at Wrestle War, and I think the story was that he couldn't even do jobs good enough on TV, that they just like sent him home. He couldn't even do a job good enough just because he was so horrible at that point.
At that point.
Yeah.
And also at the house shows, you see Sting, Arn Anderson, and Ole Anderson beating Muda, Buzz Sawyer, and the Dragon Master. This is, they're finishing up soon, right? Muda, Buzz Sawyer, and the Dragon Master?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I thought. All right, the Power Hour four that they taped on the 15th but aired on the 26th.
Let's run through this worldwide real quick.
Okay.
Worldwide from January the 20th, 1990, with Chris Cruz and Terry Funk. Funk conducted an interview with Lex Luger, who claimed he brought wrestling out of the Dark Ages and that he, not Sting, deserved to be the number one contender to Flair. Funk interviewed Teddy Long and the new Skyscrapers, with Long and Spivey saying Sid couldn't hack it as a skyscraper, and that mean Mark was an upgrade. So, see, they had the Buzz Sawyer, the Great Mother, and the Dragon Master defeated Ricky Nelson, Pat Rose, and Sean Regal when Sawyer pinned Regal with the splash off the top rope. He was a pretty good flyer, Buzz Sawyer was.
Yeah, I from what I saw of him, and I'm not going to lie, I've probably seen less than 10 matches of his. I thought he was good.
You look at the style that, like when Rick Steiner would do, like, some of those flying slams and those flying clotheslines that he does, a lot of that I think he took from Buzz Sawyer because he was, like, his mentor early on in his career.
I would like to be a fly on the wall for those altercations between Mean Mark and Buzz Sawyer. Because, you know, as the story goes, The Undertaker, Mean Mark, wanted to train to be a wrestler. So he borrowed some money from his brother or his brother-in-law, one of the two, and gave the money to Buzz Sawyer to train him. Gave him, like, maybe a few sessions and then just left town. So he wasn't there to train the Undertaker, and Undertaker was not pleased about that.
No, I think he had to be talked out of not killing the guy when he saw him in WCW.
Awesome. That is just tremendous stuff. All right, go ahead.
Let's see. NWA TV champion Arn Anderson pinned Robbie Idol with the DDT in a non-title match. Brian Pillman and Tom Zink defeated the Galaxians when Zink pinned Galaxian number two. Like, you wouldn't even know which was one, number one and number two, but with a slingshot splash. And they talked about the U.S. Tag Team title tournament that was getting ready to start. And you had Rick Steiner, Scott Steiner, Road Warrior Animal defeated Dan Spivey, Mark Callis, and Doom via DQ. I don't know why this was a handicap match. I cannot remember. Maybe Hawkeye got beat up or something.
Yeah, I wondered why that happened.
And after the match, Doom hit a spike pile driver on Scott, and Spivey delivered a powerbomb to Animal.
Then Rick Steiner chased him away with a chair.
Yeah.
Chris Cruz was here at this time. Did Chris Cruz,
yep.
He left and then came back. Where did he go? Smoky Mountain?
I think he was involved in something called WXO that Ted DiBiase was involved in the 90s. Gosh, I can't remember. Little federation that did not last long.
Yeah, I always was wondering whatever happened to him. Because...
Then he came back, and wasn't he with Gordon and Larry Zbysko and on like WCW Pro or something?
Yeah, something like that. I always hated his voice. I was not a big fan of him at all. Chris Cruz was, because Bobby Heenan hated Chris Cruz. Because
yep.
Chris Cruz would always call him a weasel. But like Heenan said in his book was. Like, Chris Cruz You know, Bobby Heenan could snap him in half. He's a lot smaller than him. He was always afraid of Gorilla Monsoon because Gorilla Monsoon was bigger than him. He could beat his ass.
Yep.
So that
yeah.
was the dynamic. So it was, I don't know, not too good.
And he was a commentator with Mike Tenay on that Win Worlds Collide pay-per-view, the AAA pay-per-view WCW did.
Yes, that's the last appearance of Art Barr, right?
Yep.
Like in a kind of in a big-time setting. And from what I read in the Observer, like, he talked his way into that match. Like, it was supposed to be just Eddie in a singles, from what I understand, and then he talked his way into the match and it turned it into a tag. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I never understood.
He would have been up there with Guerrero and all those guys, like Benoit and all them, if he wouldn't have died. He would have, you know, been one a guy like that, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had already planned to come to ECW to face Public Enemy. They were already coming in there at that point. So,
what did you think? What do you think of Public Enemy?
I didn't like them. You get them at ECW, and they're not anything.
Exactly. Exactly. So, do you want to go to that Power Hour?
Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead.
There's a Wrestling News Network. They announced the date of the Clash of the Champions, and they said that the more details would be released by WCW the following day. Why even say it then? Why?
I don't know. Give you something to look forward to back then. We didn't know shit back then, like we do now.
Yeah.
So to build stuff up, you know, make us want to watch the show.
He was talking about the Destruction Crew and how they won by Rookies of the Year.
Yep.
And Cactus Jack was going to be a guest on Funk's Grill, which that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
How that all worked out. He said he'd rather hurt a man than love a woman, and he didn't know why the NWA was giving him such bad tag team partners.
He's got the guts to stand up to the tag team partners when they get beat. You know, all these other guys, they just go along with it. They got no pride.
It was great. It was great. Let's go to the show, because they're just saying who's going to be on the show. Had Norman beat the Italian Stallion. And Terry Funk said that Norman reminded Terry of Dory Funk Jr. So, come on. Norman the Lunatic. There's no way that could be true.
I don't know. Well, sometimes Dory, it was said that he was, you know, sometimes he'd be kind of goofy. There's a story of one day he was in a meeting in the offices with, like, Jim Crockett and Dusty Rhodes, and he got up to leave the meeting and walked in the closet and closed the door because he thought he was leaving the room. And about a minute later, he came out of the closet and then walked out the door.
Oh, God. I thought he came out of the closet at a different time when he had that, he had the pictures of that guy, like his trainee, like naked with that wrestling belt.
Oh, my God, I remember that.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That was...
And his wife took those pictures of Mickey James.
No.
Yes.
Did she really?
Yep.
Why? For Penthouse, or...?
I don't know what it was for. I saw them, but...
I've seen them before, too. It looked like two slabs of beef.
Where
people
always mention, like, getting an Arby's sandwich when you see those pictures or something. I don't know. Something about roast beef.
Yes, roast beef. Exactly. Exactly. All right. Let's go back to the show.
Okay.
Lex Luger decided to give Eddie not a shot at his U.S. title. He felt like he didn't deserve it. And he
didn't. It turns out he didn't.
No, he did not. Yeah, that's true. And Luger said that he had plans to either face Flair at WrestleWar in Sting's place or be Flair for the title before the pay-per-view. So, you know, that was pretty interesting. Arn Anderson beat Buzz Sawyer by DQ in the 12-minute 12-minute mark. See, the thing about Arn being a babyface at this point was, I don't know, it was so, like you said, it like these guys, I guess it kind of fit, but you got to admit they're much better as heels, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So,
like, if it was now and Arn Anderson was around now, he'd be a hell of a babyface.
Well, of course, he could do anything better than almost anybody.
Yeah.
All right.
Because it's now it's not, like, cool to be a good guy. Cool to be an asshole.
So they left Muda, Dragon Master, Buzz Sawyer. They left the Andersons bloodied. They left them lying. So we're up to where I believe we're at that Power Hour, right? A couple weeks later.
There's World Championship Wrestling. From January the 20th in the year. Not much of a description here, just great Moto Buzz Sawyer and Dragon Master. We guess on the Louisville Slugger. Rock and Roll Express defeated Mark Kyle, and Rick Fargo. The Midnight Express defeated Larry Santo and Keith, not one of the famous Hearts.
Who was this Keith Hart?
I don't know. I know he wasn't the Keith Hart from Calgary, from the family. That's all I know.
He was just another Keith Hart.
Yeah. Doom defeated Sean Regal and Paul Drake. Sting defeated Mr. Asia. I love these goofy names. They just play up the weirdest name they can. Mr. Asia. Okay.
Yes.
Go out there, Mr. Asia.
And then Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin beat Bob Cook and Lee Scott. You know, Lee Scott was former partner of Cactus Jack.
Why would you team up with Lee Scott? He ruined the team with Cactus. He ain't going to be any better than Bob Cook. Steve Williams beat the Gladiator. Arn Anderson
Gladiator?
And the baby. Yeah. It was the Gladiator? I don't know. Arn Anderson defeated Ranger Ross in a battle of the baby faces to keep the TV title. Eddie Gilbert defeated the Galaxian, and Kevin Sullivan defeated Robbie Allen. I always love Kevin Sullivan in squash matches. He just beat the piss out of these guys.
Yes, Hard Bunny Harrison, especially. There was so Kevin Sullivan. Did he have booking powers at this point?
I think he was on the booking committee. I think it was a committee at this point.
All right. Let's go to that Power Hour then.
Well, real quick, on the 21st of January, there was the NWA main event on Sunday, and it had the main event was Michael Hayes, Jimmy Garvin, and the Midnight Express defeated the Rock and Roll Express and the Dynamic Dudes in an 8-man tag team match.
And that's it?
Yep.
All right. They announced that on the Power Hour that... the CWA and the USWA had merged, he decided to announce to us on that Wrestling News Network, and discussed the Haystacks Calhoun death from diabetes. And they showed the Steiners getting beat down, so that Sting was going to be a guest on Funk's Grill. And Sting said, regardless of whether he or Ric Flair won at World War, Wrestle War, that the world title would still be in the Horsemen. So he keeps talking about this over and over, which it does make sense. It does. They'd still be there, no matter what. All right, so the Samoa Savage. They also announced that Lex Luger would face Steve Williams at Wrestle War. So the Samoa Savage pinned Robbie Idol. And Steve Williams, during the match, cut a promo talking about facing Samoa Savage at Clash of the Champions. Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin beat Ranger Ross, an Italian Stallion. Hey, what they're doing to Ranger Ross, I'd be Robert Bank too, man. when Hayes pinned the Stallion following the that double DDT, which I have no idea why two of them doing the DDT to you would hurt any more than one person. I actually think it would hurt less because you have more to land on. So,
yeah, I guess I can see that.
All right.
I guess the rule is if you do a double something, it's supposed to look worse. I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't... I don't know. It's never made sense.
Well, what happens in wrestling doesn't make sense. I mean, like when the guy's standing on that ring apron and he grabs the guy on the inside, grabs a rope, and the guy slingshots back in. I still don't know how that happens.
All right, Ric Flair, Sting, Arn Anderson, all teaming up. They beat the Great Muta, Buzz Sawyer, and the Dragon Master by DQ when Muta sprayed Sting in the face with the mist.
That was going to be the main event clash coming up, except it'd be in a steel cage. So.
In a steel cage, correct. And they announced that Lex Luger is going to be facing Tom Zink that next week in the Power Hour. So, yeah, that's all we got. Where are we at next?
I think we're at World Championship Wrestling on January 27th, 1990. They had a promo with the Road Warriors. They're building up there. They're going to face the Skyscrapers with the Clash coming up. The Signers defeated the State Patrol. Kevin Sullivan defeated Lee Scott, and I'm sure he beat the shit out of him. Ranger Ross defeated Galaxian number 2. Steve Williams defeated Cactus Jack from the match that aired on the main event. They did a promo with Buzz Sawyer and Great Muta and the Dragon Master. And they showed a clip of them leaving the Horseman Legion that morning the Power Hour. And they did an interview with the Horseman. Me and Mark Callis defeated Robbie Idol. They had a promo with the Road Warriors. They showed the match from the main event, that 8-man tag team match we talked about a little bit earlier. And they had a Louisville Slugger segment with Brian Pillman and the Z-Man, and then Brian Pillman and the Z-Man defeated Axel Higgins and Bob Cook. The Samoan Savage defeated Larry Santo, and Arn Anderson defended the TV title and defeated Eddie Gilbert.
We should talk about jobbers in this era, because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you could make a living. You can make a living being a jobber at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, you could totally...
You knew you were good. Like in WWF, they would fly certain guys in, you know, no matter where they were at, to work with guys.
That's nuts. I mean, like, just the way that, like, these guys would just... I mean, because not some of them had bobbies, but almost none of them did. You know, most of them were 240 pounds of just, like, muscular arms but guts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of these guys that were just not very good shape. And the ones that – and the thing is, the ones that had bodies, they were the shits. The ones that were the fat guys, they could move. And I always loved that. I thought that was cool. All right, keep going. Sorry.
I think that's it for that episode of World Championship Wrestling. I think next you go to the Power Hour.
Power Hour from February?
February 2nd.
February 2nd, okay. All right, Wrestling News Network, Gordon Solie. They were talking about the main events of the Clash of the Champions and Wrestle War. Solie predicted that Ric Flair, Sting, and Arn Anderson would win because Gary Hart left. Why did Gary Hart leave?
No, I don't know. I'm thinking it was just like some kind of deal with Jim Hurd. Maybe some kind of disagreement. I don't really know why he left.
All right. Arn Anderson was on Funk's Grill, Terry Funk's Grill. And then Funk just asked him, hey, are you on Flair's side? Are you on Sting's side? And Anderson said, hey, they're both winners. And no matter what, the Horseman, or the title's going to be with the Horseman. No matter the outcome. Yeah.
And he called Ole Anderson, Oily Anderson.
Yes. That's really funny. They announced that Neil Mascaris was going to be in action at the Clash.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I said yes. That's true.
Okay. And there was a closing segment where Jim Cornette learned that the following week's show was going to be in Marietta, Georgia. So it was Cornette leaving the show. Why'd he leave?
You know, I'm not sure. Probably something Jim Herd maybe wanted him off TV or something. I don't know.
Probably.
Jim Herd treated him so bad back then. He's kind of terrible.
He's an idiot.
He had a great team like the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette, and then they really didn't do much with him at this point.
Yeah, they really did not. So we had Doom. They beat Italian Stallion and Keith Hart. So Doom's heading towards the tag titles, it seems to be.
Yep.
They begin to push. During the match, they announced that Arn Anderson's going to face Bobby in the main event. And Doom still had their masks on at this point.
The worst kept secret of wrestling, Jim Ross used to say.
Yes, exactly. Ranger Ross gets a win over Joe Cruz. And then they said that later in the show, Lex Luger would not face Tom Zink, but Flair would. So why did that happen? Do you know?
I think maybe it was just a storyline thing, saying he wasn't going to face anybody but Flair or something like that.
So Flair wrestled Tom Zink, and they had a long match. And I love how Flair would make these guys look good. I mean, Tom Zink could go, though, but
yeah,
they're still trying to do that storyline of woman trying to join the Horsemen. She would always come out with Nitron and watch the Ric Flair matches. All right, let's go to Worldwide.
And also, in this match, Flair did the rollover reversal and held the tights for the pin. So, you know, heel turn's coming, kind of starting to plant seeds for that.
So he's planting seeds for his heel turn.
Yes.
All right. So, Road Warriors, they're on Funk's Grill. They're on Funk's Grill.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
No, I was just, never mind. Go ahead.
Okay.
I was just making sure I got the right place where we were.
Okay. The U.S. Tag Team Championship Tournament, the quarterfinals. Shane Douglas and Johnny Ace, the Dynamic Dudes, defeated the Mod Squad when Johnny Ace scored the pin by avoiding an elbow drop from the top. What a shit finish over jobbers. They got lucky to beat him. All right. Tom Zink and Brian Pillman.
Zink versus the Zan Panzer. Or as Cornette would say, Zanfear, master of the pan flute.
Wait, hang on, when was this?
This was in this Worldwide show, right after that first tag match.
Sting beat Zan Panzer.
Zan Panzer.
Yeah.
He had to sing Zan Panzer.
Why, though? What a name.
Why did he beat him? Or?
No, obviously I know why he beat him. There was no big Zan Panzer push going on right now.
Job guy.
Yes, of course. Awesome name, though. All right, moving on with that.
Brad Anderson. I think it might have been Brad Anderson, Gene Anderson's son. Not sure.
And his name was Zan Panzer. Excellent. All right, so moving on with that tournament, the U.S. Tag Team Championship Tournament. Brian Pillman and Tom Zink beat Jack Victory and Rip Morgan. They did an elbow drop behind the referee's back, and so they cheated to win. So
yep.
So far, one babyface tag team wins off of a fluke, and the other one decided to cheat and win. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So do we have anybody on the line, or are we keeping it off the phone tonight?
Okay, we got somebody on the line, and I have a feeling to know who it is. So hold on.
All right.
Area code 219. Who's this?
Oh, hello, everybody. This is Louis Armstrong again.
Hey, Louis, what was your favorite part of WCW 1990?
Well, to be honest, I didn't really watch it back then. I was too busy playing trumpet and singing my song.
Oh, okay.
But
right,
I do have a question for both of you.
You can take this one, Couture.
Go ahead.
What is your personal opinion of the wrestler Arn Anderson?
Arn Anderson is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Really?
Mine too. What about you? What do you think of him?
Well, to be honest, I think he's one of the worst wrestlers I've ever seen. He has one of the worst spine busters I've ever seen. Triple H has a much better spine buster, in my opinion.
Are you a member of the famous Armstrong family?
Armstrong? Yes, the jazz musician.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm glad Arn Anderson got stabbed by Sid.
Why?
With a pair of scissors.
Why were you happy about that?
Because he's one of the biggest jabronis in the business, and Sid should have been the world champion.
So you're a Sid fan?
Oh, I love Sid. Actually, Sid saw one of my concerts one night, and he almost joined my band.
So you're also in a band with Sid?
Yes. He actually gave me the idea and the lyrics for one of my hit songs.
What song is that?
What do you think? What a Wonderful World.
All right. Thanks for the phone call this week, Louis Armstrong.
I love to see it.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the phone call.
He jumped the shark when he said Arn Anderson sucked. No credibility.
Well, that's because there's always that Armstrong-Anderson feud that's been going on for years. So, you know all about that. All right, I kind of lost where I was at. So,
go ahead.
When we at about 10:55 my time, I will make my announcement that I have for
okay.
the next couple upcoming shows, and so we'll stop right about 10:55, and then we'll talk about some other stuff that we're about to do with the show. So go ahead, Couture. Go ahead.
Are we gonna get to the Clash tonight?
Yes, I believe that we can. How far away are we?
See, we're on that. From Worldwide, it's 3. There's a Saturday. Let's just go ahead and skip to the Clash.
Let's go to the Clash, because all this stuff is just, they're just killing time because everything changes after the Clash. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All these storylines, like, not all of them, but most of them go out the window because the Clash changes a lot. So go
ahead.
Only thing
of note on this, on this Saturday night show is, people that have been in the news, Doug Furness made his debut against the Galaxian number 2.
Yes. I think we mentioned that last week, that he made his debut then. So
So
that's pretty cool. So go ahead and run us down. Texas Shootout, the 10th Clash of the Champions.
Now, real quick, one other thing we're going to start doing here, we're going to start doing some ads, some commercials. So I got an ad we're going to play from one of our sponsors, okay?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, let's go to sponsor.
Kelly Blanchard, Arn Anderson, James J. Dillon, Ric Flair, The Four Horsemen. The most powerful name in professional wrestling. Their strength is legendary. Their stamina is boundless. Their endurance is beyond the ordinary. And you are about to discover their most powerful secret. This is the Four Horsemen top performance system of caplets and chewable wafers, formulated especially for the Four Horsemen to provide peak energy, endurance, and unsurpassed power.
Power Formula 1 and Power Formula 2, the top performance system that has made the Four Horsemen the most fearsome force in professional sports.
Formula 1 chewable wafers for that quick burst of energy, and Formula 2, an exclusive complex of the most potent herbs, extracts, vitamins, and amino acids. Take it from the champ.
Formula 1, Formula 2, the power secret of Four Horsemen. Use it every day, and you'll improve your performance in everything you do.
The power secret of the pros, yours if you order now.
That's awesome. That's awesome that we got that name sponsor for sure. All right, let's get
be better if the sponsor was still in business.
Yes. Order now, everybody. Order now. All right, the show's it's on the 6th of February, 1990. 3,000 people there, sold out, Corpus Christi, Texas. All right, bring us back, Couture.
Okay, we started Gordon Solie. Jim Ross and Jim Cornette were on commentary, and Gordon Solie conducted a backstage interview with Road Warriors and Paul Ellering regarding the upcoming bout with the Skyscrapers, and included musical performances throughout the show by the band The Tough Guys. The Tough Guys. They were doing like the WCW theme, and the drummer just happened to be. Do you remember when Scotty Flamingo and JT Southern were teaming?
Yeah, I remember JT Southern feuding with Van Hammer.
Yeah, and he was kind of teaming with Scotty Flamingo at the time, but he was the drummer in this band.
Oh, wow.
And he had Terry Funk conducting an in-ring interview with the Four Horsemen, and see if I've got that.
No, I'm gonna say one thing: that you four men are tough, and tough is an attitude. I like to think that I have that attitude, but I know that you horsemen have it. I know that you have it, Ollie. Let me ask you a question: you want to just do something and hang on that microphone, or you want me to hang on to it? But let me just say one thing, Terry. When we have an opportunity to get together on national television, we always make a statement. And tonight, once again, the horsemen are going to make a statement. And on behalf of the horsemen, the spokesman, Ole Anderson, has a few words.
We want to make sure that everybody all around the country has an opportunity to hear what I'm about to say. And I want you in particular to pay attention to it, Sting, because you're the reason we're here tonight. I want you to know you're not going to be a horseman anymore. It's over. No more horseman for the state. Yeah, don't close your mouth a second. I'm going to explain something to you. I want everybody to listen real close, and you listen real close. When Rick called me and called Arn to come in here, it was for one reason. And the reason he called us in here was to get rid of you. But I tell you, now just be quiet. There's three of us standing here and there's one of you. Just wait a second. One thing that nobody looked for and nobody could figure was when you jumped in and helped Rick against this guy. We held off. A little later, in the Iron Man contest, we came in that ring and we were ready to stick your head in the sand again. And as we came through the ring, Rick gave us pay attention. Rick gave us that sign and waved us off. You were spared for the second time. And then something that nobody would have ever dreamed could happen, happened when you became one of us, a horseman. And you were a good horseman, no argument about it. You're a great wrestler, you're a tough, strong kid, but you did the one unforgivable thing that we can never forget. You know what that was? When you signed that match to meet Ric Flair for the world title on February 25th, you signed your death warrant. You listen now. I'm going to tell you what I said to Rick. We all agreed we should just stop you right now, but Rick says, no. Now, he helped me one time. We let him live one time, but on one condition. And the condition is this. You go to the promoter. You go to Mr. Jim Ross or whoever you got to talk to, and you tell him that you're going to cancel that contract with this man. Wait a minute, get over here, Pat. You just listen.
You're taking it too far.
You listen to me, and you listen real good. Anybody, even a blind man, can see there's three of us and there's only one of you. We're going to spare your life. You got about 2 hours to make up your mind what you're going to do. And I'm telling you right now, it's only because of his nice kindness that we're going to let you live right here. 2 hours, you make up your mind, you go tell Ross, you tell everybody in the world on this national TV that you're going to give up that chance at the world title. You understand? Sting, I bought you a little time because of what you've done.
Nah, you're too easy.
The whole deal is this. You got 2 hours to make up your mind, and you're no longer a horseman. And if we ever see you again, you're not going to be quite so lucky as you are tonight.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Mickey. Hey, wait a minute. I want to go.
Come on. Look at this. You see?
I want you sometimes. I do the sparkling. Sparkling. Get out of the business. Get rid of that contract. Get out of my life. Get
rid. I cannot believe this.
This is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Sparkling. Get out of it.
How? Oh, this is pathetic.
Ric Flair.
Absolutely pathetic.
He gave the guy a chance.
Well,
he gave the guy a chance.
Yeah, you're a big chance.
Oh, man. That's wrestling at its best. So, Obviously, Sting's out of the horseman. Sting is out
and,
of the horseman. So let's go through the show, and then we'll get to where...
Tully Blanchard was actually backstage ready to make his debut as the newest horseman at this show, but they were too far apart on money when he showed up, so he ended up leaving.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That could be great. All right, but the thing I don't understand with Tully Blanchard is, like, why would he not sign for whatever they're offering him? Because it's not like
they were offering him, like, originally he was getting, like, offered, like, before to come in with Arn, he was going to get, like, maybe $300,000 a year or something.
Okay.
And then the second time when he tried coming back, like, at this show, they took the offer down to, like, $155,000, which... For somebody like him, I think that's still a pretty good payday.
Yeah, compared to nothing.
Yeah.
All right, so Dr. Death beat Samoan Savage with a reversal into a backslide. Which that's, why did he just barely beat the Samoan Savage? Was Samoan Savage really that high on the card where he could have a even match with Steve Williams?
I don't know. I remember him press slamming him about 5 times. And Samoan Savage was a pretty big dude. Steve Williams, he was probably one of the strongest guys in the business.
But the thing that doesn't make any sense, though, is he wins and then he leaves. He's gone for two years.
Well, he was supposed to face Luger, you know. Sting got hurt, and so they had to put Luger in there and didn't have nothing for Dr. Death. And so that's when he went to Japan and didn't hear much from him in the United States after that.
Yes, not really. All right, Brian Pillman and Tom Zink beat the Mod Squad again. When Tom Zink pinned Basher with a reverse crossbody from the middle turnbuckle.
Yep.
All right. This is the Mil Mascaris match. See, here's a story about this. Cactus Jack found out that he had to wrestle Mil Mascaris, and he hated it because he didn't. This is not a storyline. This is in real life, and was like, God, Mil Mascaris sucks. I hate him. I hate working with him. So
he won't sell for you or anything like that.
Yeah, he's awful. So then they say, hey, Mil Mascaris, you missed his flight, so he's not going to be wrestling at the show. And you're going to be wrestling whoever that guy was that, you know, he wrestled before, the jobber.
Lee
what
Scott?
Was his name? Yes.
Lee Scott.
Lee Scott. He's going to be wrestling Lee Scott instead. But right before the show started, Mil Mascaris showed up, and poor Cactus Jack had to job out to him in 5 minutes. So
yeah, and here's one of the classic. Like, this is like one of the first classic Cactus Jack bumps when he takes the nasty plunge onto the concrete floor. And just listen to Jim Cornette during this.
Cactus Jack doesn't have the best win-loss record in the NWA. You know why I think that is, Jim? He's just like a guy like Dr. Death. He needs guidance. He has all the skills and all the ability. Cactus Jack just needs somebody to tell him which direction to go in. Right now, Mascaris out on the floor. Hey, Cactus Jack could be setting him up for that big elbow. We've seen him do it before. The elbow right off the apron of the ring. He's setting him up for it, but Mascaris doesn't look stunned. Wait, Mascaris gets back in the ring. Cactus Jack doesn't know he's there. What in the world?
Oh, God, right on the concrete.
Oh, no.
Right on the back of his head.
Oh,
on the concrete.
No. Cactus Jack is dead. He's done it this time. I've never seen anything like that.
His head just smacked that concrete. He was away from the mat. That's a concrete floor fan.
He went 10 feet out onto the concrete. No human being could get back up after that. But he's doing it.
There was no mat there. He fell right on the back of his head on the concrete.
Awesome. Awesome. See, Jim Cornette was an awesome commentator. I liked him. I've always liked him.
Yeah.
All right.
And then afterwards, and then, the band was playing that the Tough Guy band was playing the WCW theme song. Cactus Jack was still there, and I guess he was giving him a headache, so he went and went after one of the guitarists, and then the drummer confronted him, and they had a little pull apart brawl.
Yeah, the drummer's name at the time, Wolf Wild. Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. that sounds like a WWE developmental name, like now. All right. Norman beat Kevin Sullivan in a false count anywhere match in 6 minutes. 6 minutes and 15 seconds. But the pinfall was off camera in the women's bathroom. Tell us a little bit about that.
He had chased him back there, and I think Gordon Sully was back there, and this was another. He's probably mortified to have to cover this. He's standing outside the women's bathroom, and Sullivan goes in the women's bathroom and then closes the door, and Norman says, sees it, says, woman says, no, can't go in there. And then he goes in anyway. And then you just hear the one, two, three, and then Kevin Sullivan comes out with the toilet lid around his neck, and he hasn't gotten beat.
He's always in women's bathrooms, Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah.
The Road Warriors.
The women are in the men's bathrooms in WCW.
Yes. The Road Warriors beat Mark Collis and Dan Spivey by DQ because Spivey hit them with chairs. So they announced
that.
I'm sorry?
He killed him. He killed him with these chairs.
Yes, because he was mad at them.
Yeah, I mean, he bent the chair over Hawk's head.
Yeah,
this was back in the time. He didn't see those stupid chair shots like he saw in the late 90s back then.
No,
you know?
This was disgusting. Yes. Why did he go after him like that?
I don't know. They just lost by DQ, and they just wanted to build up the feud for the next match. So they didn't need to lay him out.
So it's going to be a street fight at WrestleWar 90. All right, so Doom. the team I've been putting over all night. They lost their masks versus Rick and Scott Steiner. Rick rolled up Butch Reed, so they unmasked as Butch Reed and Doom Number Two, as his name was, refused to unmask. But then Gary Michael Capetta said that if he didn't unmask, he'd be suspended. So then he unmasked.
Well,
he's Ron
better than
Simmons.
Us explaining it. Let's let the people listen.
Take the mask off. It's a championship by the mask in this one. He's got to concentrate on winning the match. Then the mask will come off. And that's all for three.
Simmons before this, how long was he in WCW or NWA?
See, he came in the NWA, I'm going to say like maybe the middle of he was in the UWF, but you know that was the same thing when they bought the UWF back then. It was about the middle of 1987. So he'd been there for a while.
Did he just disappear and then come back with a mask?
He disappeared for a few months. They weren't doing much with him back then, if I remember correctly. They kind of turned him heel, but they really weren't doing much with it. So that's when he came back as Doom.
All right, so the main event is Flair, Arn Anderson, and Sting. Well, scheduled Sting against Great Muta, Buzz Sawyer, and Dragon Master. But then, obviously, Sting's on the match, so they substitute Ole Anderson for Sting. And because, they attacked Sting, that ended up turning, for this match only, the Great Muta, Buzz Sawyer, and Dragon Master into babyfaces for the match. Because they were cheering for them because, you know, they were so anti the Horsemen now. So, did you think this was planned out this way, or do you think it was just short-term booking?
What do you mean?
Like, were they planning on doing this Sting angle right here and then therefore turning them face just for the match? Because it's kind of weird that they would have them turn heel and then wrestle a bunch of heels. Even though they're on their way out, it doesn't really matter. It's still...
I think they just, it was just... I don't think they probably really didn't think about it. Until they started getting cheered. They probably figured they would get cheered, but, you know, afterwards they could just go back to being heels. So.
Yes. Yes. All right. And then, so they beat him. And, Sting showed up and tried to scale the cage.
He tried to scale the cage, and
Doug Dillinger was trying to pull him down, and I think his leg got caught, like, inside the cage or something, or his knee, and he ruptured his patella tendon.
Ouch.
Good going, Doug.
Yeah, gosh. So this main event storyline, which was built up beautifully, all in one night, down the toilet.
Thrown out the window.
Just gone. It's horrible. It's horrible.
And I'm pretty sure they were going to have him defeat Flair at the Wrestle War for the title. So, and when Sting went down, I guess really the only other person they could put in there was Luger.
That was all they had left.
Yeah. And so I don't know if they were going to try and, I don't know how much longer Luger was going to be a heel. I don't think they were planning on turning him babyface. I figured if Sting would have won at the Wrestle War, then Luger probably would have been one of his main challengers like the next few months.
Yes, and then because Hurd wanted Flair to kind of go in the back burner, right?
Yeah.
So that would have made more sense. All right, so then Mood is gone. Mood is gone for 10 months. He's not coming back for another 10 months.
Yeah, I think he did like maybe a couple house shows. They did some tag matches with the Horsemen against the JTX thing, but he was gone until the Starcade later that year in the Pat O'Connor International Tag Team Tournament.
Tag Tournament. That was great. So,
Sawyer still stayed. Dragon Master left. Sawyer still stayed, and they formed the Slaughterhouse with Kevin Sullivan and Cactus Jack.
That's awesome. And they weren't allowed to have blood on their jackets. So they just had really clean jackets.
One funny thing, when Sting is scaling this cage, Pillman's one of his buddies and jumps up there, like, starts scaling right beside him to try to get him down, and Sting takes this wild swing at Flair and just slaps the shit out of Pillman. He misses.
That's freaking hilarious.
And I think Pillman ended up with, like, a black eye or something.
Poor Pillman. Just catch a break.
Yeah.
All right, so we have a couple of shows that are going to be different. I don't know exactly how it's all going to work out. We are going to be doing the WrestleMania show. That's in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's not that we're going to be suspending this show, because we'll be doing it. We'll be back to this. Next week we have, the week after WrestleMania, mm-hmm. we're going to be having a show with Jakey, my former co-host, and we're going to be talking about women's wrestling and the history of it. And I think that'd be like a pretty cool, interesting thing to see how far back we could go, because you and I know more of the older stuff, and especially you. I mean, you know a lot of the older stuff, and we could go through, you know, and talk about what our, you know, favorite stuff specifically, you know, in women's wrestling. And it's Jakey's favorite thing in the world.
Okay.
So that's going to be pretty cool. That'll be pretty cool.
God,
and,
I bet they didn't say Antonio Trust calling in.
Yes, so. I'm sure he will. And then next week at, instead of doing our normal show, we're going to be interviewing the former American Male, Scotty Riggs.
Oh, really?
Yes. He's going to be talking about, you know, WCW with us and maybe a little ECW, but mainly WCW stuff. He's
mm-hmm.
a pretty cool dude, so that should be a pretty cool show. Pretty interesting guest, I thought.
Yeah, I think he spent some time in Memphis, too.
Yes, so we should...
Maybe
Memphis
and maybe Smoky Mountain. I think maybe he was there also. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we'll be doing all that, so I think that should be a pretty good time.
Oh, I got to download the song. Oh, I get to play the American Males theme as the start of the show.
Of course you are. Why would you not do that? So
yeah, that
sounds
good.
So everybody, be sure to check us out next week. We'll have Scotty Riggs on here. Then we're going to be doing the WrestleMania show, the night of WrestleMania. It'll probably be pretty late when we do it, but we will be doing that show that night, talking about WrestleMania. And then... we're going to be doing that Jakey show soon, and, you know, and we'll get back to 1990. We're going to get there. It's cool to go in a couple different directions all at once just to, you know, change things up for us a little bit. So
I already got our shows planned for, like, when we get through with WCW 91. I got what we're going to do after that.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, we should talk about that off air, because I don't want to announce any of that stuff yet. All right, So we'll be back next week with Scotty Riggs. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Louis Armstrong, for calling in again. I'm sorry.
Learn a new
song.
I'm tired of hearing the same fucking song every week.
Yes. Sing a new song if you call in next week. All right, everybody. So we will talk to you next week.
At least it's not like that bullshit at Lightning Hopkins, as well as shit sounds the same.
Yes, exactly.
Talking about being in the bottoms and going to church and all that crap.
All right, everybody. Thanks again for listening. We will be back next week. All right, good night.